Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 6, I think, of the VCR Repairman. I'm Cliff Fair, he's Jacob Mueller, and today we're going to talk about the newest addition to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, WandaVision. Jacob, how are you doing
Yes,
today?
let's do it. I'm good. Doing well. Got way more sleep today on this Friday morning than I have been getting the past 8 or 9
That's nice.
because of WandaVision, but so I actually think it's a good thing, and I didn't feel a hole in my chest like so many Marvel fanboys and fangirls did, which I think is also a good thing. So generally having a good day. My week's been pretty good, other than just kind of being busy with school as always, but yeah, it's been good. Been social and gotten to spend some time outside. So a
Good to
lot of
hear,
good
man.
things.
Good to hear.
What about you?
So, have you, wait, real quick. So have you been like regularly, you kind of mentioned this, like have you been regularly staying up to watch the episodes like as they're releasing like early in the morning?
No, but I would wake up early, like I guess on the Friday mornings usually. Now for the last couple of episodes I stayed up. And that was just dumb. But
I was gonna say, how does that affect
it
your
was
like
what it was.
viewing experience?
I don't know. I mean, I think both of those weeks I just like kind of got into like a little Marvel thing right beforehand, like I think around midnight or so, I would start watching, or before episode 8, I started watching Infinity War, and then I finished it that next week, and then started watching Endgame, and then obviously once WandaVision came out, I just kind of switched off of the movies I was watching and watched that. But generally, I don't know, especially if it doesn't live up to expectations, it's a little bit more disappointing because it's like I stayed up. Not again.
I'll take it out. I'll take it out.
Whoops. Yeah, but I stayed up that late, to just for an episode that I didn't like as much as I wanted to, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was gonna say, especially you said you stayed up for those like last you stayed up for those last two, and I would those if I like in hindsight, we'll get more into this as we go along, but in hindsight, those are definitely not the two I would have stayed up for, like having known
No.
which each episode entails. But
Agreed.
yeah. So really quickly, now we're kind of I think verging on this topic. I want to be kind and courteous and considerate to anyone out there who maybe hasn't had the chance to catch up on WandaVision. So I think just for anyone listening out there, I think we're going to structure today's show by we will do our quick non-spoiler thoughts and recommendations. And then that'll probably not last too long. And then from there, we're going to move into spoiler talk. So if that's something you want to avoid, stay with us until we finish our non-spoiler stuff, and then I would recommend, hopping out of here and maybe checking out the show, and then coming back and checking this back out on the KHDX.FM blog sometime.
Agreed. Definitely don't let us spoil the show for you.
Yeah,
We won't do a very good job of it,
it's definitely a
of
show that's
explaining things
better.
well.
It definitely is a show that would be better going in. What's the
Dry.
word? Dry, that's a good word.
Yeah. I
Jacob,
agree.
do you want to give your, I'm gonna put you on the spot. Do you want to give your just brief overall thoughts?
I can try. And I will try and do this without any spoilers. So I guess I'm kind of just going to set up the beginning of the show because it re the show reveals itself a lot as it goes on. So basically, Wanda and Vision live in a town called Westview in the 50s in a TV show, kind of at the start. And as the episodes go by, it becomes kind of a sitcom of later and later decades. And a lot of it's about them forming a family and them kind of recognizing what's a little bit wrong with the town of Westview. And then there's other players from the MCU involved. Yeah, and Wanda's doing some tricky things with her powers to I don't know, to have somewhat kind of control over the world she lives in. I don't know. I don't want to spoil too much. But generally, I think synopsis without spoilery stuff that's around as general as I can get about it. If you want to add anything, please do.
I think for synopsis that's good. I will definitely say just like my quick non-spoiler like thoughts on the show. I think it has a lot of potential, and it has a lot of really good parts that I like. I think it breaks from the, what has come to be seen as like the Marvel formula in recent years. It does a lot of interesting things that deviate from that, and it really differentiates itself as its own like unique part of the universe for a lot of it. And there are definitely parts that kind of go back on that and feel a little more generic or less interesting or less thought out, especially towards the end. And those are disappointing, and they kind of bring down my overall impression of the show. I think it does a lot of interesting things with the sitcom genre that I kind of want to talk about more in the spoilery section. I would recommend it. I would recommend it on the
I definitely recommend it. Yeah.
I would recommend it with the warning to not get your hopes up for, 'cause I think it does a really good job of unraveling this kind of mystery throughout the, or there, it sets up really well this mystery through the show, and I think the way it unravels and solves that is a little bit deflating and not as interesting. So I recommend it with the warning that to not get like your hopes up for a super exciting or mind-blowing conclusion.
Yeah, that's exactly how I'd recommend it. I'm the same in the same place as you about that. I mean, again, without spoiling stuff, a bit disappointed, not necessarily with the second to last episode, but kind of just the general end to the story was a little bit disappointing for me. And part of that's because of expectations, part of that's because of other things we'll talk about. That aren't really, I mean, just generally pacing is one of the things that I think the show struggles with down, because it kind of tends to unravel the mystery a little bit late, and then force everything to happen in the last couple episodes. So that's one of its struggles for sure. But yeah, I definitely recommend this show. I would just say that really what's the most interesting about it is the show kind of early on. And you know, the mystery that they're kind of setting up is really super interesting.
Okay, well, I think that is really sadly, for anyone out there who has seen the show as deep into this as we are really comfortable getting without explicitly discussing spoilers. So if you are out there listening, I know there's not very many of you, but if you are and you haven't seen the show and it's something that you're interested in, please stop listening and go watch it and come back to us on KHGX.fm later. If you've seen the show and want to stay around, or if you haven't seen it and just don't care and you just want to listen anyway, feel free to stick with us and we'll launch into spoilers now.
Let's do it.
Spoiler number one, Jimmy Woo.
Can't believe Wanda dies at the end.
Wanda dies.
No, only joking.
Yeah.
Spoiler number one, Jimmy Woo. That was
Jimmy
good.
Woo. But I think that is Jimmy Woo. I mean, obviously that's a meme, but I think that is a good place.
Yeah, I do
Maybe.
think I know this is me kind of structuring the course of the podcast in the middle of the podcast, but I think it'd be interesting to talk about a lot of fan reaction, or like who became fan favorite characters. Like Jimmy Woo had no following before the show came out, and now Jimmy Woo is literally maybe some people's favorite Marvel character as a meme, but also unironically.
Well, that's funny. from my perspective, as someone who actively and lividly hates Ant-Man and the Wasp. And that's probably a bit dramatic for a Marvel movie, but I really do not like that movie, and he's one of my least favorite parts of it. But I think he's fine here. I think he's like a little fun addition. You know,
Oh, I like Jimmy Woo in this.
does he really need to be here? Like, not really. But I definitely don't mind his presence, and I think Randall Park does a pretty good job. Not he has nothing on Elizabeth Olsen or Paul Bettany here, but I think he does a good job playing the character.
I
And
don't think many people, other than Katherine Hahn, have anything on
yeah,
Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany in this show.
he's done kind of a miracle
You
of.
can make the argument that. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying, he's done kind of a miracle of giving me at least a little bit of a sliver of interest in Ant-Man 3. I assume he's going to be in Ant-Man 3.
Yes. Yeah. I agree. I didn't think that this is where we're gonna start our spoiler discussion of
Neither.
WandaVision. But yeah. So now do we want to go to the plot spoilers, I
Okay, yeah,
guess?
I think we
Big
got a
plot
little bit. I
spoilers?
might have gotten a little bit ahead of myself with Jimmy Woo. Do you want to like rewind to episode one and we can kind of just move
Sure.
chronologically through the events of what happened? I think
I'll
that would
go
probably be a
through
better way to do
what I
this.
remember. I
Yeah.
mean, generally, I think the important thing about episode one is it's basically a 50s sitcom. And, Wanda and Vision have a home together, and Vision works a job, and he invites his boss home for dinner. And then there's kind of this weird moment at dinner where it seems like voices are talking to Wanda or something like that. Or, like, there's this little kind of awkward moment where everyone's taken out of their like the reality of the sitcom for a second, and obviously that's instantiated by a difference in like camera techniques by the people who are doing the WandaVision show as well. And then it kind of ends. I mean, generally I don't think there's a lot more about episode one that's really important other than just kind of the sitcom gimmick, which I think is cool.
I think we can kind of lump the first three episodes together. In my mind, there's kind of like three
I
blocks
would
of the
definitely I
show.
would say the first two for sure. The third
Yeah.
one I think it deserves talking about just
Okay.
because we get an
Yeah.
important character.
Yeah, for sure. But I think that first little segment of the show, whether you want to include episode three or not, it doesn't really matter. But I think those, especially in episode one, they do a good job of just establishing this kind of universe we're in, right? And I like, you know, a lot of, I have no clue as really to the fan reaction to the show. I haven't really kept up with any of the theories or what people are angry at or not online. I would imagine that some people, I have no clue. I would imagine that some people probably didn't like these kind of first episodes because there's like no action to them really. They're just sitcom episodes. But I think they're really, really important to the show. Because
Yeah,
they
for
give you
sure.
time to just be with Wanda and Vision, and there's not really too much happening, so you kind of just get the focus on them and get to elucidate more on their dynamic and how they fit together. And I think they actually, you know, by the end of the show, I think that becomes probably the most well-written romance in the MCU,
Yes.
I would say.
I completely agree.
And those, like episode one in particular, is really important in doing that and just setting up how their relationship works, and I really love it for that. But also, really quick before I toss it back to you, I think my favorite thing about the like episode one and such is that it were totally sucked into like the sitcom dynamic that the show is excellently like shot, and like the mise en scène for the sitcom aspects of the show is so great.
Film school words, let's go.
Film school
Nice.
words, that's right. But there's moments of like I don't want to say maybe like horror or suspense. Like, in the, I believe the second episode, there's the scene with the beekeeper emerging. I might be getting my episodes confused, but there's a scene really
No,
early on.
that's right. It's at the end. Oh, it's at the end of the second episode, I'm
Yeah,
pretty sure.
where this beekeeper emerges from the sewer and Wanda rewinds. At the time, we're not sure that that's, we don't know that that's what happened, but in hindsight, we know that she's correcting her reality. And I think the show has a few moments of that where it's really confused, like, okay, like something really off is here. And it creates this, like, really interesting sense of suspense that, or at least for me in the early part of the show, got me invested in it and excited to watch more.
Yes, I completely agree. I think what's really interesting about the show early on is it is just so different. I mean, not only that it's just so different from a Marvel property, but it's just or a Marvel property generally, but it's just like it is such a mystery and you kind of just have no idea what's going on and you're given these little moments where the reality breaks in some aspect and you're like, "Whoa, what's going on here?" And it just like I think there's a reason that, you get on Twitter and you'd see like all of the WandaVision fans really mad at the "please stand by" because it's just like there's something about that mystery that just you're so eager to like understand it and get what's going on. And it does a really good job of kind of building that suspense and building that anticipation. And this is, without any fan theories or anything, like just simply the show does a good job of that itself with the mystery it builds up.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I think we kind of as we approach episode 3 and get further into that, we see more and more instances of this universe kind of breaking down, and it builds to this boiling point where we get the reveal of Geraldine, I think is her name in the sitcom. Geraldine is revealed to be Monica Rambeau, who.
Well, I don't think she ever says that to Wanda at that point, but she basically just Wanda ends up finding out she's not who she says she is.
Do you wanna
And throws
elucidate
her
more on
out.
that? Yeah, throws her
I mean,
out.
basically, she just throws her out of Westview. That's pretty much what we know at the end of episode 3. One thing I was gonna butt in about, because you talked about how good the romance I thought and the connection build up between Vision and Wanda was. I think like one thing that I would always say about like movies that are kind of they're just like unrelated, but they involve characters from other movies. It's like I think that this movie retroactively like makes Infinity War better and like other movies with their relationship because I mean especially that Infinity War scene, going back and watching that after having watched a lot of WandaVision, you understand it and you feel it more. I just think that they do a really good job of making this one of the best and most understandable Marvel couples.
Which is not a high bar.
It's not a high bar, but another thing I do think is that, it's impressive because I don't think that in the past I ever bought into Wanda and Vision. And so it was kind of good that they were able to kind of justify that. But getting back to episode 3, that's basically what happens. And Wanda has kids. That's the
Yes,
other
Wanda
important
has
thing.
kids. I do wanna I
Geraldine helps deliver them.
yes. I do wanna talk more about your Infinity War point really quick just before we move on, because that's funny because I actually rewatched that movie last night with that purpose in mind, of like just seeing how that relationship dynamic changes, because Infinity War, I would say, is probably one of my top two favorite Marvel movies, and any scene, and even though it's one of my favorites, any scene with Wanda and Vision in it before the show had come out, basically I would just skip, Because I
Yeah.
was like, okay, it's Wanda and Vision. I don't care about either of these people. They barely have
It
any
was
screen
probably
time.
the weakest part of the story at that
Yes.
point.
But it's such a crucial part of the story because literally the climax of the film is Wanda having to kill Vision and then Thanos
Yeah.
rewinding time. And so that's a huge part of the movie that just wasn't that effective for me. And it's I wasn't sure that this show would change that since it's sequentially after. So I didn't know if the relationship dynamic would really there would change how it feels in Infinity War. But there's kind of a there's it's definitely strong enough, and like I think some of the flashback scenes help with this too. We'll get more into those later,
Yeah.
but you definitely feel that connection more, and it feels way more tragic on review of
Yeah.
seeing what they have to go through, knowing what the eventual consequences and fallout of that turmoil will be.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. And the one point that I'll add into that is, like, I think one of the reasons I felt that is because, like, basically up until WandaVision, I never felt like Wanda and Vision's relationship was ever, like, really justified. Or the chemistry wasn't, like, they didn't have enough screen time to, like, have great chemistry together or whatever. You know, they just, it didn't feel justified by the movies before it, right? And then you get WandaVision, and it completely justifies their relationship, like in every way, even if it is sequentially after. So for me, you know, after seeing WandaVision, I still, you know, feel like, okay, their connection's been justified. I'm, it doesn't feel like some, you know, some, I don't know, wouldn't say fan servicey moment, but just like trying to make you feel because you're supposed to feel for Wanda and Vision because they're together. Like, no, you feel it because you feel for both of these characters, and yeah, it's a big moment, obviously, but that's as much as I want to talk about Infinity War.
Well,
Great
this is the
movie, but
WandaVision discussion.
this is
But
the WandaVision discussion.
from then I think we get kind of to where the show begins to fall apart for me, which is episode 4. And the entire episode takes place outside of this super interesting sitcom setup that we've been in for the past few episodes, and we are with Sword and Monica Rambeau. Actually, I will say the first scene of the episode, with
It's really good.
Monica going through people being unsnapped is super interesting. And I definitely want to see more from, because we are going to get way more Marvel content than we want or need in the next few years. And I kind of, that being inevitable, I want some of it also to focus on the those results of Endgame and like the unsnap. I don't know what the in-universe name for that is. But I think that makes a really
The
interesting,
blip or
the
something? I can't
blip, you're
remember.
right.
It's something like the blip. Yeah.
That makes a really interesting jumping off point for her character.
I agree.
But then we spend the rest of the episode with Kat Dennings, his character from Thor, and Jimmy Woo and Monica Rambeau, and quite possibly the one of the worst, if not the worst Marvel villains,
Yeah,
Tyler
he's pretty
Hayward.
bad.
We'll talk more about him later. But we kind of get this whole episode to kind of elucidate more on the mystery of what's been going on for the first three and kind of explain to the audience what's happening. And I just feel like it kind of deflates the momentum and pace that had been built up for the first three episodes and kind of deflated my interest in it some. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't feel as strongly about the fourth episode as you do. I think it's necessary with the story that they're trying to tell. And Hayward's bad, but I think they do a really good job of making all of these ancillary characters, Monica Rambeau, they make a really good character out of, I think. And I think Jimmy Woo and Darcy are entertaining as well. Far more than they ever were as side characters in Ant-Man or in Thor. So yeah, I think generally it's kind of just an episode where you're kind of just learning about stuff, learning about how the way things work, and learning about how Monica got in and then got kicked out. So yeah, I mean, I definitely think, in terms of pacing, again, it does kind of throw it off a bit. And, of a 9-episode TV show, you wouldn't want one episode to kind of be completely devoted to to just exposition and kind of learning about the world. But the way that WandaVision kind of, like, I would say that, like, 6 out of its 9 episodes are basically like mystery boxes, kind of.
Yeah.
And it's like you kind of need your little bits of like clarity. And I think episode 4 gives you that, episode 8 gives you that. And then, 9 is its own thing. But,
Yeah.
yeah.
I think I just have two main problems with this episode. One of them, I agree with you, although think I feel more strongly of. I feel like the break from pace kind of ruins the show's momentum up to that point. Because stopping and explaining everything, you're right in that we need to expand some on the mystery box that we've been presented so far, but I think kind of just the way it explains everything to us is not really that engaging or interesting. I mean, I'm not a filmmaker, so I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say I could have done it better, but I just think there could have been a
The
more
play could have
interesting
done it
or
better, guys.
there I just think there could have been a more interesting or engaging way to kind of give that information to the audience. And I think part of the problem with that, and maybe this is somewhere where I disagree with you, is that I don't think
Ooh, yay.
any of the side characters are really good. I think like
Yeah.
their presence is like fine. Like I enjoy scenes with Jimmy Woo or what is Kat Dennings' character's name? I cannot remember.
Darcy.
Darcy and Monica, they're fine to be around. Like there's no points where I actively hate their on-screen presence, but the show is focused so much on Wanda and Vision, and rightfully so. But as a consequence, we do not have time really to devote to these characters and exploring them and maybe understanding some nuances other than their primary character trait. And I think it's kind of they kind of feel like how we were describing Wanda and Vision feel in Infinity War, where they're just kind of ancillary characters that don't really have much going on in that, and consequently you don't really feel much for them. I would just hoped in a series of this length that maybe we would have had a little more time to, and especially with as much time as we spend with them, I feel like some of that could have been used more effectively to kind of characterize them or make them more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a sense, I mean, one thing that I think generally we agree on most of what we're saying. I think you say it ruins the pacing. I would just say it's a blip, kind of like the blip. But, But yeah, I mean, it's a mediocre episode for sure. I just don't like. One thing I think we may disagree on is I think the show gets back on track after it for
I
a
do
while.
agree with that, actually, yeah.
And I don't feel like episode 5 or 6 or 7, especially 5 and 6, I think are both really good. I think the show actually gets to its best point around that, right after it. And it is kind of because we know a little bit more about the situation. Yeah, there's not a lot there with Jimmy Woo or Darcy, especially those two. I think Monica gets a bit more time, and obviously, episode 4 is mostly kind of about her. And they don't do a, she's not a amazing character, but they give her enough time, and I think part of that is by giving her, this episode to kind of help us get to know her a little bit. They give her enough time to where, like, it doesn't feel weird that, like, she's showing up maybe in the finale, but we'll talk more about the finale in a bit. But yeah, I think generally, to keep the ball rolling, episode 4 is definitely one of the weakest, if not the weakest, of the season. But in a sense, I feel like it's necessary, although it could have been done where you kind of like have a half action episode about like what's going on in WandaVision's world, and then also, what's going on outside the hex.
And real quickly before we move on to episode 5, 6, and 7, because I think you're right that the show does hit its high point there. I feel like maybe it's not it having the whole show available to binge whenever you want now for people who might view it now will maybe alleviate that problem, because maybe some of it came from a place of waiting,
This is
like
the one thing I get a week. Yeah.
having the mystery built up for a week and then getting this episode where we get a character. And I really do think like the show spends so much time trying to explain what's going on in WandaVision that it doesn't really, outside of that first great scene, doesn't really have enough time to focus on Monica herself, even though the episode is about her. I just feel like maybe I don't like that episode, but maybe viewing the thing as a whole, where you're just able to hop straight into episode 5 and 6, where it gets back to being really good, maybe that'll feel like less of a problem than it like does or did for me.
Yeah. I mean, I think generally, and we'll talk about this more, but I think I have similar feelings about 8 in a sense.
Yes, I
But
do.
I think 8's much better because it's
Yes.
necessary.
We'll talk about it in a second.
Again, we'll talk about it more, but it's that similar kind of take you out of the story, explain things to you kind of episode, which I just think. Yeah, I think that the way the show's set up kind of requires something like that.
All right, you want to move on to 5, 6, and 7?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, sorry, I'm blanking.
Five is based off of, I can't remember. It's like the 70s, right?
I think
No, it's the 80s.
it's
It's
the
the 80s.
80s. It's the
The
one where
third
Quicksilver appears at
episode
the
3 is
end.
the 70s.
But
Yeah,
not.
so it's the 80s.
So we get the reveal of Quicksilver, which turned into one of the biggest talking points in the show. Do you kind of want
Correct.
to just talk about? I think we can just talk about Quicksilver. Maybe how you feel about
Yeah.
his addition in the show, really
So
quick.
Episode 5, I think, just generally is a really good episode,
Yeah.
and then it's made really like the cherry on top of the great cake is the reveal of Pietro.
Yeah.
Which is just like, what? Multiverse? Like, what's going on? I think surprised everyone, surprises Wanda, surprises Vision. But I think the best scene in the show comes right before that, and that's the argument scene between Vision and Wanda, as Vision is like noticing more and more what's wrong with Westview and questioning things more and more, and kind of is, starting to think Wanda's controlling everything. It's just a really good argument scene. And they both fly, like at the end of it, they both rise up. And then, of course, Pietro comes. But generally, I think it was super, like, obviously, it created a super big mystery at the time with the, why is Pietro here? Are they starting a multiverse? Or is he X-Men Quicksilver? What is he? Are they just kind of like, what are they doing with this? And I think that, is he some bigger character from the Marvel Comics, whatever. And obviously, we find out more as the show goes on. But it's a really, again, another great little mystery box.
Yeah. I like your point about their argument scene. I agree. It's not my favorite scene, which actually we will get to later because I definitely want to talk about it. But I think you're right that argument scene is one of the most powerful scenes in the show, and it works so well because of those first three episodes.
I think it's one of Paul Bettany's best scenes in the show, for yes. sure.
Paul Bettany's great.
Yeah, he is.
Elizabeth Olsen's great, as we mentioned. I think being able to see him kind of, like, unravel the mystery himself and figure out what's going on is way more powerful than the explanation we got in episode 4. I really like seeing him unravel the layers of what's going on here, and I feel like maybe that would have been a good audience surrogate for figuring out what's happening instead of just explaining everything. I really like that. I really like their argument. And then, yeah, as the appearance of Quicksilver at the end is super fun and interesting. I don't have too much to say on it, really, until we get to episode 9, I think, and we kind of...
Yeah, the one thing I'll say is that episode especially, if there weren't a lot of theories coming out about the show at that point, or before that point, I mean, there were so many coming out after that. Like, I think it just, that choice to include Quicksilver, or to, you know, like, even if it wasn't Evan Peters, just to, like, include a cast of Pietro at the end of the episode just, like, makes you ask so many questions, and obviously opens up a vast array of possibilities that the show could go in.
As someone who wasn't keeping up with the online discourse of the show as it was going on, that was the moment after that episode came out where I really started to notice WandaVision trending on Twitter and people really actively discussing the show.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, it got big right around that point, I would say. I mean, it was already big, but I think it got super big once Evan Peters came in. As is to be expected, and if Marvel didn't expect that, they were dumb.
Yeah. And then we kind of We move on to episode 6, which is maybe my favorite episode in the show.
It's a good one.
I really like it. We have, like, the whole Halloween setting, which is fun. I like Halloween, and I like, it's cute that they're all dressed up as, like, their Halloween costumes. They're obviously their comic book, traditional comic book appearances, which is cute.
Right.
And I think we kind of get more of what we got in episode 5 with Vision and Wanda growing apart, which, as we've said, is strong. And I think, like, the last episode, this episode ends with another great cliffhanger where we see Wanda, you know, we see Vision basically fall apart after trying to leave the Hex, and we see Wanda, you know, expand it and consume a lot of people. I think that in the moment, it doesn't really amount to much at all because it's kind of just immediately resolved in the next episode. But I think in the moment that was a good cliffhanger as well.
Yeah. And again, I would say one of the things that this movie, or not movie, it's like a 9-hour movie.
Yeah.
Not a 9-hour movie because it famously doesn't have hour-long episodes, but yeah, this show, it is very famous for throwing a lot of red herrings at you. And that's even more consistent in this episode with the behavior of Quicksilver and some of the things he says, especially for a lot of fans online who really thought he was this Marvel character called Mephisto. If you don't know about him, he's the devil of the Marvel universe, kind of.
Interesting.
And some of the lines he says in this episode especially got a lot of people thinking. Obviously a lot of people ended up being disappointed about that, but I think this episode's, again, great at presenting a lot more mysteries, making you question who Quicksilver is, you know, making you question what Wanda's role in the whole Hex is, and obviously making you question, like, I guess, like, how exactly the hex works. We, you know, with not people who aren't kind of close to Wanda not necessarily being, like, basically being frozen, not being, like, controlled, but also still being in the hex.
Yeah, I mean that's
Kind of
really
makes you
all I'm
deal with the implications of
yeah.
what Wanda's doing as well, which I
Yeah,
think is interesting.
you kind of see more of like how it's affecting the people in the town, which is kind of horrific. Like she's basically
Yeah.
just enslaving people, which she never, I mean, I'm jumping a little bit ahead of myself, but she doesn't really
It's never dealt
ever
with.
deal with ramifications for that, which I think is really kind of
No.
weird. But it's horrifying. In that moment, you kind of see Wanda as like a villain. Obviously, the show
Yeah.
doesn't really continue down that road. It kind of forgives Wanda for her decisions because she is sad, which is again really weird. But yeah, I
She's
think
grieving, Clay.
that was really it introduced some, like an aspect of moral complexity that I wish had been followed up more as the show develops.
Well, maybe it'll be followed up more in Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of
That
Madness.
is true. It could be
If
a
she
multi.
becomes some kind of villain.
It could be like a multi-story arc, which
Yeah.
would be interesting. If I guess we'll have to wait and see. In episode 7, I think this one is fine. There's nothing really. I mean, we get kind of more of the
Episode
same.
7 is okay, yeah. I think I really liked it. I liked the ending a lot
Yes.
because Agatha all along is a bop.
Agatha
One.
All Along is so
I
good.
liked.
It's such a good
It's
song.
such a good song. And I just think generally, I think the reveal of Agatha is really good, actually.
Yeah.
I think you could see what she was doing for, the longest time. Kind of being a little bit of a disruptor. And yeah, there's a lot good about that episode. Her having the kids in her house, her saying, "I bit a kid." Like, funny enough, I guess this is there's a reason for this, I guess, but like this show or th this episode takes a lot off of Modern Family and The Office, in 2010 sitcoms, and Catherine Hahn obviously was in Parks and Rec, and she just like totally has the humor for it. I don't think generally the episode does amazingly with that, with the concepts. I think Paul Bettany does a good job just because he's literally, dressed in a Vision suit, right? And it's kind of funny when he tries to quip. But yeah, like the whole all of the Elizabeth Olsen is like literally or Wanda's literally going crazy humor, I just thought was a little bit like, I'm a little worried about her.
It goes back to like this aspect of like us having these really interesting sitcom moments that are kind of underwhelmed or not underwhelmed. They're kind of underlined by this sense of maybe like suspense or something being wrong under the surface. That again, I think the show's really effective at. I think
Yeah.
that's a good like I like those moments in this episode of her just being depressed and then kind of
Yeah.
worrying about what
I
the
think they're good.
implications
I
going
think it's
forward.
needed. I think it's just a difficult tone to balance with the sitcom tone
Yes, that's true.
that it's
That's true.
going for at the same time. But I think generally why this episode probably neither of us would consider it as good as 5 or 6 is just because not a lot happens. It's kind of let's just tide our time until the end of the episode when we can reveal the villain, right?
And
And
I
that's the
think
main thing that happens in the episode.
up to this point, Agnes has been a really good character. Just like in terms of the sitcom, she's been really entertaining and well acted by Catherine Hahn. And I think the promise of her gonna, the promise that we get in that episode of Agnes is gonna be the villain is really exciting. And again, this is something that I feel like we've said a lot. I feel like it's a promise that's not really fulfilled, and the actual like execution of Agatha as a villain doesn't really be, it's not as interesting as it seems at first in that first moment when you first watch Agatha all along, which is kind of disappointing, but in the moment it's great.
Yeah, I agree. I think what what the show does really well is, especially early on, it sets up a lot of great things. The payoffs aren't always great, but the setups are amazing.
Yes.
And that's kind of the trend. So let's get into the last two episodes.
Yes. This is where
I want to
totally
hear
fall.
your perspective on both of these.
I think I'll just go really quick with my thoughts. Episode 8 has a lot of really important information that I think recontextualizes on the story throughout the MCU in a really effective way and gets you to empathize more with their character. But, and this is a big but, having a whole episode devoted to Wanda walking through her backstory with the villain right after the reveal of the last episode doesn't really work for me because, again, I think we mentioned this earlier, it totally kills the pace up to this moment. Like, all of that momentum that had been built up in the previous episodes is immediately thrown out the window for this one. And while it introduces important stuff, I feel like the show suffers overall from that. And two, I think another side consequence of that is we don't get enough time with Agatha as a villain. We see her as Agnes a lot, but once she's interviewed as a introduced as a villain, we get a whole episode about Wanda's backstory, and what that does is it limits what characterization and motivation she can be given. We have that first scene with her and showing her general backstory, but we never really get a sense really of who she is or why she cares about this situation so much or what she wants out of it. And I think that's a really big failure of the show.
Yeah, I think this episode, I have a lot of very mixed feelings about it because I think there's so many story points that are so necessary. I just think for Wanda as a character, especially for like the best writing I think in the show is in that
The
one scene
dreaming
between Vision and
conversation?
Wanda this episode. Yeah,
I
the
agree.
conversation on the bed. That's the best writing of the season. What is Swag, if not drip, persevering, whatever. No, what is love if not grief, or grief if not love, persevering? That's a great line.
It is.
Really great line. But, so, like, the highs are high, but the problem is, it is just not at the right place in the show. Like, when you said four killed the pace for you, this killed the pace for me. And I think this is worse in terms of how it kills pace because there is one episode after this. So not only do, we not really get a good dynamic between Wanda, like between our hero and our villain. I mean, you kind of get it, but you don't. It's odd. It doesn't
It
feel
doesn't work.
right, I guess. And then there's a very half-hearted attempt to give Agnes a little bit of a backstory and for us to understand her, and we just don't. Or I guess Agatha, sorry. Other than she's kind of jealous and wants to stop Wanda from using her magic or something.
Yeah, her motivations are never clear.
And
Really.
I just think it sets up the finale to be bad, pretty simply. Like, it's not that this episode's terrible, it just ruins the pace, doesn't give Agatha enough time to be developed as a villain. Gives the last episode way too much to do in such a short amount of time. And again, just leaves us with, and I think
Jacob?
that answered. And I think that that's something that in a sense is at fault because they don't take the time in the second to last episode to, like work on the story at all.
And I think those are all really smart and valid criticisms you have. What saves, I mean, what I do think it's one of the worst episodes in the show, but for all those reasons you mentioned, but I think something that saves it that an episode like episode 4 doesn't have is it has these really interesting and powerful character moments that
Oh
shouldn't
yeah,
be in
no, I
Wanda
actually
that.
don't think it's the worst episode. Let me jump in and say that I think four is probably the worst episode just because it's the most mediocre. It's like asking me whether I like The Last Jedi or The Rise of Skywalker more. Like, I just think The Rise of Skywalker is very mediocre, and I think there's a lot of good and bad in The Last Jedi. But like all of the great moments, and all of the bad moments, I'm gonna take the movie with a lot of great moments and, maybe some pretty big bad moments rather than one that's just like, ugh, is kind of in the
Right.
middle.
And here's the greatest challenge bee of our episode so far. We have a little less than 10 minutes remaining for one of them, and now we have to address the finale, which is sucks,
A lot
I think.
happens.
It sucks.
A lot happens.
I will
The
say,
finale sucks? Yeah, I agree. It's not good.
I think my main issue with the finale
It's the worst
is,
episode of the show. I forgot about that. That's, yeah.
I think my main issue with it is, for a show that's been so interesting and different from the Marvel formula and like the sitcom and the drama it's had, to end the show with a big giant CGI laser fight
Literally
feels like
doesn't even feel like WandaVision.
it doesn't feel like WandaVision. It's such a disservice to what's been done. And what makes me even more angry is that the show clearly shows it's capable of not ending like that. My favorite scene in the whole series is the ship of Theseus discussion between the two visions, where he literally, his
Drip
final
of
battle is a
Theseus.
discussion of philosophy. And that's so cool and so like unique and interesting and not like that's so Vision, and that's such a unique and
It
creative
is so
way to
Vision.
resolve that. And so the show is clearly capable of doing,
I
coming out with,
love when White Vision says, "I am Vision," and flies off. It's kind of funny, but it also good.
it's so like creative, and the show is capable of doing it. And then for Wanda's conclusion, it's a big giant ter the CGI looks awful, laser fight in the sky.
It
It just
does.
it does
It
not
does.
work for me, and that's my major issue with it.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we could talk more about it, but there's just a lot. And, if anyone wants to listen to us talk about WandaVision more, hit us up or ask us to write a review on Letterboxd or
Yeah, for
something. I
sure,
don't
for
know.
sure.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just not that good. It's so much. I mean, I think especially as the episode goes on, and again, they don't really introduce. They call her the Scarlet Witch at the end of episode 8, and then she has all of these powers and knows how to do all the rune magic and stuff, and or like the big reveal at the end of the episode is that she's marked the hex as her own magic ground where only she can use magic. She's the only witch who can use magic in it, and then of course becomes full Scarlet Witch. Nothing's explained because they don't have the time to do it because they have to reveal it all in episode 9. Same with White Vision. I like White Vision, but because I like the discussion that he and the other Vision have, but they just reveal him one episode before it's done. Hayward is literally stupid. Like there's no bigger thing to him. He was just stupid. Like,
Hayward is pointless.
you can't forgive his character earlier on because there was some like big reveal for him. No, it was just that he wanted to,
I don't even know what he wanted. He
basically destroy Wanda or something. I don't know.
he's literally like Malekith level of bad Marvel villain.
Well, at least he's not saying, wait,
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 wait.
wait,
But
wait.
yeah, he's terrible. I just think the
He's
main
not bad. Or
issue
he's
is,
not good.
we both agree on this, is that it just feels like instead of tying things up, we're kind of rushing to a conclusion. And everything just ends up feeling rushed, really.
Yeah. I mean, I think the good parts are really what the show has always done well is kind of the little emotional moments. I think, when Wanda has to reckon with what she's kind of doing to the people. I think Elizabeth Olsen really delivers in that point,
I wish we got more of
when kind of
that.
all the people are surrounding her and like asking her to destroy the hex and like all of that moment where she starts to destroy it and then sees her kids fading away and then doesn't. I think that's kind of interesting. Again, Agatha's just a placeholder, just kind of standing there.
Yeah, she's such a bot.
But generally, I just think Elizabeth Olsen's great in this. And then, of course, the stuff with the kids at the end is real. I think, despite this being a bad episode, it's a that's great. It's all great right there. You know, if we've said goodbye before, then we'll say hello again. Great line again.
Yeah.
You really feel it when Vision goes, and I love that he gets to say something like, because I think this is one thing that's like super interesting about Vision, and I'll try and do it quick, but just like how Vision is basically like a robot, but like there's always, you know, this thing about like he is kind of something more, right? And I think that, you know, he's like, I wonder what I'll be next. I just thought that was such an interesting line too, like Vision kind of acknowledging, you know, he's been all these different things, you know, but he'll be back again.
For all of its faults and all of its shortcomings, it really hammers home what the good part of it is at the end, which is the relationship. And I think the ending is pretty touching, actually. Like, I know we complain a lot about the show, but we both like it overall. Like, a fair bit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And I think that scene to end it with is strong. And I'm sure, I mean, we don't know what happens to White Vision. I'm sure he'll reappear and have some content with Scarlet Witch in the future. I mean, for all of its shortcomings, I would say the kind of ending is good. I think the post-credit scene is dumb.
I agree.
We don't have to go
but
too much into
it. I guess it's supposed to set up Multiverse of Madness, because she, I guess, finds her kids or something.
In the multiverse or something? I don't know.
Yeah, in the multiverse. But I think that was a missed opportunity, because just from the final episode, I was kind of like, my one expectation out of the last episode is that the multiverse will be created. Just because I'm like, pretty sure that's what's going to be the big plot point in Spider-Man No Way Home. If there's going to be literally three Spider-Mans in it, which I guess isn't confirmed, but there's villains from different Spider-Man universes, someone would have to think. Yeah, it just seemed to me like you have to set up the multiverse a little bit, and they didn't. And I think that was one failure, too.
I kind of disagree.
Of the show.
Sorry. I'm just going to interject really
go
quick
ahead.
Because we are running short on time. But I just want to say, I think this will be interesting, because I do disagree with you in that I think the show is better as its own thing without setting up these larger implications for the Marvel Universe. And so the fact it rejects doing that, I actually really appreciated. I think the best example of that is Quicksilver turning out to be some dude named Ralph Boner. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
I thought that was so funny. I'm glad it doesn't do that, basically.
I didn't care about the Ralph Boner thing. One thing I will say is that I think I wanted them to set up the multiverse, but like, and to be fair, there's like a line that Agatha has in the final episode where she's like, you have no idea what you've just done or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think if she actually did like create it, but we just don't know about it, I think that's just as good.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
true.
I do like the idea that you mostly stick to the story, but like that it just makes the most sense that Wanda would be the being to create it with the amount of power they're saying she has. So you have to kind of create it in some kind of property that she's in, whether she knows she's doing it or not. And if she created a multiverse, like, I think there's a lot of theories, like, she'll try and maintain the hex by, like, just moving the hex to a different reality or something, moving with her family or something. I think generally they chose the better storyline of, like, her having to give that up.
Uh-huh.
But again, that would be another motivated reason to kind of create a multiple universes.
And sadly, I have to say, we are out of time for this episode. There's so much to talk about with this show. I'm sure you and I can
really
go
is.
On
we,
for another hour.
We really didn't address even as much as we've talked about on our own.
If you guys are interested in hearing us talk about it more, feel free to email us. I'll leave our emails in the KHX blog, or we can... if you want to hear us talk about it more, there's a way we can figure that out. I want to thank everyone for tuning in and listening to us, and we'll catch y'all next week. See you later.